and find out who's here on which applications. You may be waiting for your signal. I asked him to run it, but it's not. There it is. Okay. Good morning. We are back on the record, having heard a 9 o'clock setting of an application for a conditional use permit filed by the Central Kitsap School District. We do have three additional public hearings scheduled for today, and I want to find out who is here on which applications. The first one listed on the agenda as item A is the Word of Truth Fellowship looking for a conditional use permit to convert a building to a church facility. Are you here on behalf of the applicant? Very good. Is there anyone else present that has any comment, question, or concern about the Word of Truth Fellowship conditional use permit? No. Secondly, as agenda item B is a development agreement proposal for Woodbridge Crossing. Is there anyone here? Good morning. Applicant representative is here. Any member of the public have any questions, comments, or concerns about the Woodbridge Crossing proposed development agreement? No indication. And then finally, the Harrison Hospital development agreement is before us this morning. Is there someone here on behalf of the Harrison Hospital development agreement? Yes, there is. And any public that has any questions, comments, or concerns about the Harrison Hospital development agreement? No indication. We have Constance is retrieving any sign-up sheets. Is anyone signed up to testify? No. Okay. Well, then these can move forward fairly quickly. I'm going to check my notes to see if I have any issues that might require any time, but I'm inclined to take the matters as they are listed. But what I'd like to do is shift the agenda a little bit. With your consent, sir, I do have some questions about the church proposal, the conditional use permit. Not difficult ones, but might take a little more time. The development agreements, I think, should be very straightforward. So I'd like to turn to those first, and the Woodbridge Crossing one would be up for hearing then at this time. In each of these applications for review, I, Ted Hunter of Sound Law Center, as the county's hearing examiner, is charged with the responsibility to hear and decide, or in the case of the development agreement, make a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners on whether the proposed development agreement should be accepted. And to do that, I received testimony from the county professional staff who's here this morning. Mr. Smith has reviewed these and has made a recommendation, and then the applicant, as well as public, and each of these no public presence, so it's applicant testimony and professional staff testimony, as well as exhibits. That's what forms the record upon which I must make my recommendation for each of these. The conditional use permit will be a decision. So on Woodbridge Crossing, what I've reviewed in advance of the hearing is a 2009 decision, the hearing examiner, and a 2014 decision of the hearing examiner, and then some emails that are of this year with Public Works, the proposed development agreement, certification of notice of the hearing, and then a staff report prepared for this hearing. This proposal for a development agreement addresses project phasing, timing, vesting, and construction restrictions related to a proposed subdivision of 122 acres, Silverdale Way and Wagga Way. Mr. Smith, did you want to come forward on this? And I have reviewed your staff report, so I'm familiar with it, and just want you to give any testimony you think might be appropriate for this hearing. No, I don't think you've been sworn in yet today, have you? Do you swear to tell truth in testimony you give today?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
The development agreements for Woodbridge Crossing, it's with Donna Marwick and Kitsap LLC, and the purpose of this agreement is to vest the project for a period up to 10 years. This project, is, as you mentioned, has received hearing examiner approval back on applications 2008-0852086, and then the amendment to Woodbridge Crossing from multifamily to single family at file 1401757, which is a major amendment. The commissioners have delegated their authority to the hearing examiner to conduct the public hearing, and they assigned their resolution on May 23rd, 2016, and the Growth Management Act authorizes local governments to enter into development agreements, and under 3670B, as the Regulatory Reform Act, the whole idea is to lock them in at current standards or the what they're vested at, and address orderly development. The development agreement does not change what was already approved by the hearing examiner. It just vests the project. Mm-hmm.
So the purpose is to vest for, did you say, 10 years?
Yes.
Is that in the development agreement itself?
Yes, that's what we've staff, prosecuting attorney, and what we've discussed with the applicant. They have an opportunity to, if based on economic circumstances, they can do an extension of 5 years mm-hmm. on top of the 10. So the vesting date is June 26, 2008, based on when the applications were deemed complete for Woodbridge Crossing. The development agreements that do meet all review criteria that, as explained in the staff report.
Okay, very good. I want to ask a couple of clarifying ones. Exhibit 8 are the emails that went between county staff and applicant. They deal with traffic concerns. Are you familiar with those?
Yes.
And you included them in the exhibits that you wanted to bring into this record. I guess they sort of raise some questions about traffic impacts. But what do we have these for, and are the concerns addressed?
Well, Public Works had some concerns on timing of when project would be phased, how many vehicle trips would be created, and when the transportation improvements would be needed to make to mitigate traffic impacts. So staff included those that correspondence from Public Works to just to show that the serious consideration was given to this proposal, and it was looked at through the agreement.
Okay, so it is addressed in the development agreement itself.
Yes, it is.
And also, I want to ask about notice for this hearing. We have this mailing. Is it 400 or 800 feet?
400 feet.
It's 400 in this situation.
Yeah, it's an urban property. Requires 400 feet.
And then finally, in this, just to make sure, I think I know how this happens. It can happen to any of us. In your staff report, there's some language on page 2 about the development agreement outlining future activities such as timber harvesting, forest practices, clearing and grading. Does that relate to this development agreement?
Yeah, it all, 'cause essentially we have a large property that's partially developed.
Mm-hmm.
And it does involve forest practices and land for grading.
Okay, so it is relevant to this development agreement. Very good.
Okay.
Thank you. And we have an applicant representative here, I believe.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Hearing Examiner.
Good morning.
My name is...
Oh. And do you swear to tell truth, including your name and the testimony you give today?
I do.
Thank you.
Yes. My name is Norm Olson. I'm with NL Olson & Associates. I'm a project engineer in here representing the owners.
You know, and clarify that, because this, I think that's the only difference I saw. Donna Markwick, has she always been involved, or how does this relate to the Kitsap LLC?
Yes,
the option agreement.
Her property has always been involved with the project from the initial approval, and I think she was under contract with Kitsap LLC back at that time.
I see.
And now she's a party to the agreement.
Okay, so it was included in the initial review of the plan development then.
Absolutely, no change.
Great. Thank you. Anything you wanted to add to what the county staff testified to?
No, only if there's questions.
It just seems very straightforward, and I think we ought to move it along.
Great, thank you.
So we will do that with a recommendation for approval. I can't recall, were there conditions that were recommended?
I believe only that it's... the original approval, the conditions of the original approval.
Right.
Right.
Very good. Then this will be moved forward to the Board of Commissioners with the recommendation for approval.
Thank you.
So that closes the record on the Woodbridge Crossing proposed development agreement. We turn next to the proposed development agreement for Harrison Medical Center. And Mr. Smith, are you still staffing this one also? Okay.
Similar to Woodbridge Crossing, Harrison Hospital like to enter into a development agreement with Kitsap County to vest the hospital development. The hospital is on a different timeline than Woodbridge Crossing. The hospital is very enthusiastic about moving forward sooner. The board has directed to the hearing examiner to conduct the public hearing, and that was also on May 23rd, 2016.
Wait, why did that happen? Was it unclear in your ordinances?
Staff was working on these at the same time and saw it to be advantageous that we just do this in one shot.
Right. I was curious about the board resolution, why that was needed.
Based on the RCW and the board needs, and Title 21, the board needs to make a formal decision if the hearing examiner is going to review or have to conduct a public hearing, or the board's going to conduct a public hearing.
Okay.
They've kept that option based on other projects.
I see. Good. Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. So you looked at this one, and you've prepared the staff report. And
so the project will be in three phases. As I believe you were the decision maker on as far as the proposal, that there's significant funds that are going to be exchanged between the Harrison Hospital and the county, and the development agreement helps lay that out, that process, as far as for traffic mitigation.
Mm-hmm. Then you pointed out the other elements too in the development agreement, and again, it includes some forest practices, site development activity permit, utility infrastructure, a number of items that you've outlined in your staff
yes.
report.
It's a large project. They're dealing with a 30-acre site. I think 17 acres is being developed. It involves those development processes.
Very good. Okay. Anything further you wanted to add?
No. Thank you. Staff did prepare a PowerPoint presentation, but I don't think at this point it's necessary.
Do you want to put it into the record anyway?
Yeah.
I certainly would find it helpful to look at. So I will add that as Exhibit 9. Let's see, we had applicant representative here for this one, Mr. Olson. Anything further you'd like to add on this application for a recommendation of approval of a development agreement?
No, we are in agreement, and we would like to proceed.
Well, then you will get what you ask for.
Great.
And we'll recommend approval to the board and have that within the next 10 days.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Smith has something more on this one.
The previous Woodbridge Crossing, staff has also prepared a PowerPoint presentation. On
okay, let's bring that into the record of that one. Then. As Exhibit 13. Okay, so we've completed our review of development agreements, and we turn now to the final item on the agenda today, which is a request for a conditional use permit to allow a church to be established within the county. Converting an existing commercial building at 6514 Grand Pine Loop Northeast. I've reviewed in advance of the hearing 26 exhibits, which include the application itself, the environmental review. There's a parking analysis involving Lowe's parking lot that's included as exhibits. A traffic analysis of floor plans and site plans, the notice of complete application, a decision by the health officer, a development services and engineering memo, fire marshal comments, some maps of the area, a reduced site plan, the SEPA determination of MDNS, and the notice of this hearing today. And we have present with us the representative of the applicant and the county staff. So, Mr. Smith, you're the one that took a look at this. Do you want to present information on it?
Yes, I do.
Please proceed.
Okay. My name is Jeff Smith. I'm representing Department of Community Development. I'm a senior planner and a significant experience reviewing similar projects to conditional use permits. I'd like to first include my PowerPoint presentation into the to the exhibit list. And that would be 27, I believe.
Yes, okay.
Okay. The applicant is requesting to change the use of the building and do minor modifications to an existing commercial structure that was formerly used as an optical laboratory. Change the use to a place of worship. There is some additional impervious surface square footage to be included. There'll be classrooms, there'll be kitchens, offices, cafe, and sanctuary. the proposal or the property is within the mixed-use zone, and anytime there's a change of use in this particular zone, a place of worship is required to be reviewed through a conditional use permit.
I wanted to ask you about the zoning. I think you noted that there was a change in zoning. Is that right? That affect the property, or that there's a change underway? Can you give me a little more information on that?
That's correct. I believe the zoning was changed around 2010 to mixed use, and then currently the county is in the process of reconfiguring the zoning code, consolidating zoning districts, and doing away with the mixed-use zone. At least that's the proposal at this point in time.
Oh, I see. But it doesn't affect this application.
Yeah. Staff recommended that the applicant get an application in just based on their timeline to occupy the building and not wait for a decision by the board.
Because who knows what might happen.
Yes.
So this is clear that it's a mixed-use zone now, and as you testified, any change in use takes this conditional use permit process.
Yeah, it's a restrictive zone. Monitors as far as the different uses in that.
There's a lot more oversight than some zones.
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm. The staff issued a determination of non-significance, and that's dated May 24, 2016.
Let's take a look at that. So, and I struggle with this from some time. So no one appealed that.
Nobody
right?
appealed.
And it says, where is it? MD&S is Exhibit 23.
And I think I understand your confusion. If it's an MD&S and we have conditions.
You're anticipating my question.
Yes. And
yes, I wondered about that.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to staff to provide clarification what the project is being, what statutes the project's being reviewed for dealing with compatibility and mitigate impacts that are existing within our code. That's the intent.
Okay, so it is appropriate to call it an MD&S because technically, although it doesn't impose anything, it's conditioned to make us aware of what's happening, be more specific about it. Is that it?
Yes. If adjacent property owners have concerns, we wanted to notify or provide information that they are being reviewed under these code elements.
I think I'm getting it. So the SEPA notification process is used by the county to let the public know that there will be a stormwater review or whatever. In this case, I think it does reference to stormwater review, that will happen.
That's correct.
And that's really a way, and it also says that it will create moderate impacts. So it's also letting public know that the county isn't saying there are no impacts.
Right.
And we often face that misunderstanding, don't we, where SEPA is about significant impacts. It's not saying there are no impacts.
Yeah, each project does create some moderate level of impacts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So county is able to use the SEPA notification process to maybe calm some fears or to reduce concerns about aren't you going to do anything at all about the stormwater?
Right.
And here you're letting people know that's going to be addressed.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's a very helpful clarification.
Okay. The property is located off State Highway 303. It has direct access off a county road called Northeast Franklin Avenue. The subject property abuts the Lowe's Hardware, or Home Improvement Store to the north. They share a similar access point. I don't believe there's full movement, but you can make a right in and right out. The as you can see, the the state right-of-way and where the easement begins, the property does have access to the direct access to actually a state road. And also wanted to clarify that to the south is a Fred Meyer retail store. Property is 0.74 acres in size, involves what we say two buildings, and it's around 7,000 square feet. It was previously considered through land use to for a 3,600 square foot expansion, as I noted in my staff report, and that was in 2003, as far as when it was application was made. The comprehensive plan designation is high intensity commercial. The zoning is mixed use. And it allows for a range of mixture of mixed uses of parts commercial and multifamily. The project is reviewed for consistency under 17.421 for conditional use permits. And reviewed through the criteria or design criteria in 17.382.030. The proposal is taking advantage of existing building, existing off-street parking, and taking advantage of the opportunity to use parking in the Lowe's parking lot. Fortunately, my PowerPoint, my computer's locked up. But the existing landscaping meets the landscaping requirements as far as screening. It's a single-story structure with a pitched roof. It's compatible with the residential character behind the building. The building provides a visual and a screen for noise and light as well from the parking area. People on the residential side should not be impacted by activity within the building and the off-street parking.
I wanted to ask you about that because your staff report had just a little bit different list than the applicant did as to what might be included. And, for example, there's a cafe that's proposed,
yes.
And you looked at that. But your list in your staff report didn't include the construction of a stage. Do you recall that? And I ask that because have the applicant speak to this, but when you concluded no impacts to surrounding neighborhood, when I see stage, I think of potentially electronic music or loud productions. Was that anything that you considered?
I did look behind the building, and there's no openings in the outer wall. I didn't anticipate there'd be any noise impacts. Okay. Based on the construction and being adjacent to a property line, I assumed that that would have some heavier construction and pretty well insulated.
Mm-hmm. So even though it's not in your staff report, you did look at that stage proposal as part of what
you
reviewed.
Yeah.
All right. So you determined no material adverse impacts in surrounding properties. It's compatible with the existing area, and then meets the criteria.
Yes. And there are 30 spaces that are provided on site for off-street parking. But based on the, I think it was 184 interlocking chairs, So that's determined on a ratio of one space for four seats. There are approximately, 60 seats required. They're going to exceed that by approximately 45 spaces by including the Lowe's parking area to the north. Mm-hmm. The applicant has signed an agreement with Lowe's and Lowe's manager. The corporation gives a lot of liability to the local manager to have jurisdiction over their parking and how the site is managed. So the manager did sign an agreement with the applicant allowing overflow parking to occur certain times, during the evening as well as on Sundays. And based on the agreement, staff believes the applicants met the requirement for off-street parking. It is in the best interest to use existing pavement areas whenever possible instead of creating more based on stormwater impacts and so forth.
Okay. So, recommendations for approval, and you have a number of conditions that you're recommending. They appear to be primarily what we call standard conditions, referencing the ordinances, 22 in number. One thing I just wanted to ask about on page, do you have the staff report in front of you?
Yes, I do.
The page 9, and then on to page 10. I think there might have just been some confusion in the formatting here. You see how the last sentence of page 9 refers to requirements?
Fire marshal?
Yes. And then your first sentence of page 10 also seems to refer to that. Maybe it's a numbering issue.
It's a page break. Mm-hmm. That was how that was done.
Okay.
But it does refer to approximately 5 to 6 conditions by the Kitsap County Fire
Marshal.
Right.
They made sense to me, but it's okay if we clean that up a little bit so we can
have
the numbers work better.
Glad to do it.
Okay, we'll do that. Great. Well, I don't have any other questions. I appreciate that you did a clear and concise staff report and you've presented here this morning. You'll be available if there's any questions that come up. But
yes.
With your agreement, we can turn to the applicant's representatives. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I'll ask you do you swear or affirm to tell truth in testimony you give today?
Yes.
And what's your name, please?
Tim McNeil, M-C-N-E-A-L.
Okay, and what's your relationship to the applicant?
I'm the pastor of the church.
Okay. Reverend McNeil.
Okay.
you sometimes use that?
No, it's kind of an old term anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my dad was a pastor, and I remember when his brother looked at his card, Reverend James Hunter, pastor, he thought that was kind of redundant, and I suppose it is.
Yeah.
Many different roles that you play, and here today, you're representing your congregation in its application for this approval. Did you have a chance to review the staff report?
I read through it. Don't know if I understand all of it, but I read through it.
Did you have any questions or concerns primarily about the conditions? Because a conditional use permit, as that term implies, really is about the conditions. And now's the chance to get anything clarified that you might be concerned about coming up in the future.
I don't have anything particular. I don't quite understand all the stormwater testing and that kind of stuff and what are the implications if it fails the storm testing.
Well, let's ask this. The statement in the staff report is that the project will add additional impervious area to the existing facility. Is that true? Are you going to pave over something or expand the building?
I think we are taking a little part of the west side of the building to expand bathroom area. So I think it equals out to like 86 square feet that will be putting a roof over that area.
Okay. Well, let's find maybe Mr. Smith. You know, 86 square feet, would that trigger a major review of the stormwater management system?
I don't believe staff is going to require a major new development.
Yeah, that's a what we might call a minimal or insignificant impact. I think the concern that Mr. McNeil's raising is with reference to your proposed condition 15, that since there's additional impervious area, it must be evaluated for impact to the system for compliance with Title 12. Evaluation must be performed by a licensed engineer. Is that necessary in this case?
I'll ask Ms. Roussel to address that.
We have a representative of the county here that can respond to that. Can she do that at the microphone where you are, Mr. Smith? Good morning.
Good morning.
And you swear to tell truth in testimony you give.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
My name is Candace Marcel with the Department of Community Development. My area of review has to do with stormwater mitigation. So the addition of this minimal amount of impervious surface will not trigger any thresholds to require additional engineering. However, when any change is made to an existing developed site that adds new impervious surface, we require that the that an engineer provides documentation to show us that this change will not impact the existing stormwater system. Additionally, with condition number 16, we're requiring that documentation be provided that the system has been adequately maintained. So we know going into it that we're dealing with a well-maintained stormwater system.
So if I'm the applicant, what do I need to do?
Need to contact a civil engineer to analyze the addition of the new impervious surface and provide a report to us, the certification that it will not adversely impact the existing stormwater facility, and documentation that the facility has been adequately maintained.
Okay, 86 square feet. There's no any additional triggers that then, even if it was 6 square feet, or is there any threshold below which that type of analysis would not be required?
I don't believe there is. I think any addition of new impervious surface to an existing system would require this.
Hmm. Okay. I'm sorry, your role again is, what's the title?
Engineer 1 with the Development Engineering Division of Community Development.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Certainly.
Well, there's the answer in that one.
May I add?
Candace Marcel.
Yes. The documentation provided with this application included certain plan sheets from a previous site development activity permit that was reviewed and approved and used in the current development we see there. It would likely be a fairly inexpensive effort for that engineer to provide this documentation, since he has all the background information of the design and so forth.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions about conditions, Tim McNeil?
I believe not.
Okay.
Would this be the time to make mention that we may have some modifications to the building, not necessarily like we had on there a cafe in a kitchen, due to expenses that we weren't aware of at the time of putting a sprinkler system. We may not be putting in the kitchen at this time or the cafe, but we do want to have them plumbed at this time so we don't tear things apart again.
I think the wise way to go is, as much as you are considering, let's have that before us now, because it's gone out for public notice. And if anyone was concerned about any element of the church that you're proposing, they need to be here today. So keep it broad. You may decide to do less, and that wouldn't require any modification of your conditional use permit. It's only if you add things.
Yeah, the goal
that's why I asked about the
goal
stage.
Is to have a kitchen and a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Just right now, those aren't the most critical parts of trying to get in the building.
Right.
So
right.
Once we get bids in, which we're still trying to gather up, we'll have a better idea of what our expenditures are going to be, and some things are on the
What is the plan? What are you hoping to be able to begin to use the facility?
Well, build-out should probably take about 3 months. So as soon as we get approval from here to go forward, then we will, hopefully we'll have all of our bids together.
Right.
And then get going as soon as possible.
Good.
Hopefully be in by the end of the year.
Yeah, that should be possible. Where are you meeting now?
Olympic High School.
Oh, okay. So this would be your own place then.
And yeah.
You could keep things in place and plan meetings without having to check with conflicts. So it gives you a lot of advantages.
Olympic High School is going to be remodeled next year.
Oh.
So we're going to have to be out of there anyway.
That explains it. That explains it.
We were working on getting out of there anyways. But
mm-hmm.
That just kind of like, well, good time to get out.
Yeah. So is it a non-denominational church?
Yes.
And explain to me a little bit how the services go. Does it include an electric band? Is that part of the service?
As of now, we don't have a live band. We have one in the works, and sometimes they perform, sometimes they don't. And so we would use what we call canned music, previously recorded music that we play and worship to. Our service would start with pre-service prayer at 9:15, which isn't going to draw the bulk of your congregation to that. So maybe 20, 25 up to that point. From there, there's usually a 15-minute break. Service starts at 10, goes to about 11:30. And then occasionally once a month we have, or actually once a month, we do have a potluck after service to foster relationship building.
Okay. So the concerns I've had in other hearings of this sort primarily involve traffic and parking, which you addressed. With your agreement with Lowe's, that's great. And then the noise from services themselves.
Right.
And from what you've explained, it doesn't sound like it's a highly amplified service. Is that how you would explain it?
Obviously, there's decibel level when you have music being played.
Mm-hmm.
The positive I think we have is that our speakers will be pointed towards Wagga Way, which would be in the opposite directions of the residents behind us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which would make most of the sound go that direction.
Sure.
Even in our children's church, speakers would be pointed away from there.
Okay.
As well.
And what type of building is it? One that you think might contain sound, or is it
kind I'm of assuming, I don't know what the codes were when it was built, but I'm assuming the outside walls are 2x6 construction, insulated with the inside sheetrock, and then the outside chipboard, and then the siding on top of that. So I would assume that we wouldn't be interfering with our neighbors behind us.
All right. Well, it sounds like a good plan. So we need to move it forward. Get approval to you and get on the remodel, and then have your facility ready by the end of the year.
Amen to that.
Okay. So I won't delay it. I think we've got all we need for the record, and you'll get it within the next 10 days. Move it forward.
Thank you, hearing.
Thank you for your patience this morning and waiting to be heard.
You're welcome.
But, we have all the information we need, and it will be approved.
Okay.
Is there any other business to come before the hearing examiner this morning? Seeing none, we then will adjourn for the day.